So this episode is coming to you today on the back of the eclipse portal, the super new moon, and Easter holidays in the UK, and resulting from all of that, plus all the other craziness energetically that has been going on, basically 2 weeks of complete insomnia. So just prefacing that today for you on this subject of entrepreneurship, business, and soul-led creativity. Enjoy. For millennia, they have called us mad, disturbed, and even dangerous. But you know now that what they feared most was our divine feminine power. The power to rebalance our world in ways they tried to make us forget, to denounce, to ridicule, even within and amongst ourselves. Hi, and welcome to Ramblings of a Madwoman. My name is Zoe, and I'm a shamanic artist and sacred expression alchemist, uncovering and deep diving into our personal and collective soul embodiment is what I absolutely live for. Join me here in these conversations as we unravel the lunacy of our times and bring our wildest, full-feeling and multi-dimensional selves back online. So I was lying awake last night, despite having requested from my guides and the universe to give me a nice, restful, deep, restorative sleep for the last night of the Easter holidays, because I knew I had to get up this morning and do the school run and all the things. It didn't work, sadly. Perhaps they weren't listening. Perhaps I was asking too much. Anyways, I was lying awake, and perhaps because of sleep deprivation, that was certainly had something to do with it, I started to feel a little bit down. And what was going through my mind was just all of the ways that I feel like I'm a failure. Yeah, we're going there. So this was all coming up for me in the middle of the night, about 3 a.m. And I started to go down that rabbit hole of, you know, comparing myself to like everybody I know, basically. And doing that thing of it almost like a mental tick list. Like, well, every other person I know has this. Every other person I know has achieved at least this, bare minimum. You know, that sort of mental checklist. Really, really super healthy. And I started to, you know, I felt myself falling emotionally down this hole and beginning to succumb to it and to really like believe all of those stories, first of all, be really, really triggered by them, triggered by my own stories. And then something caught me. And I can't remember what it was because, you know, I was in that land between conscious and subconscious, unconscious. But something caught me and I suddenly switched energy completely and started, as I'm sure all of the creatives can relate to, I started to basically speak this podcast episode out in my head. So I was recording it mentally in my head in the middle of the night. And then, of course, it got to this morning. I had to do all the things with on no sleep. And I'm sitting here with my blanket over me. The wind is howling outside. Weather can't make up its mind. I'm exhausted. I was like, do I do this episode? Yes, I'm going to. This is a discussion, an exploration, a questioning about creativity and business, and specifically again, soul-led creativity. So in my mind, and I'm sure I will get all kinds of hate for this, or let's say debate is a better word. But in my mind, there is productive art and creativity, art that is primarily produced to sell. And when I say art, that means art of all forms, whether that's books or music or pictures, you know, whatever it is. So produce-led art versus soul-led creativity. And I mean, if you follow me, you know that I'm all about the soul-led creativity. And that isn't through any manner of ego or, like, you know, hierarchical thinking or anything to that effect. It is entirely because I don't know how to be any other way. There is something in my wiring that will fundamentally not let me be any other way. And it causes me a lot of grief, let me tell you. And that's why this subject is actually burning to be shared. It has been for a while, and I haven't known how to talk about it because it is so, it's a really, really tricky thing to navigate. It's very sensitive. I find it sensitive even just to think about in my head, which is why it's something I've kind of shied away from a lot. But let's get really clear here. I have spent the last, let's say the last decade. You know, it's more than that, probably, in all honesty. It's definitely more than that. It's probably more like 13 years. Calling myself a business, an entrepreneur, certainly. I've actually been self-employed since I was 26. So right back in 2006, I left my career in publishing and set up craft business with some kind of resale stuff on the side. And also had a part-time job as well. But I've definitely called myself an entrepreneur, a creative entrepreneur, for many years. And yet, it has never really, it's always made me feel a little bit sick in my mouth, in my gut. As has the word business, in all honesty. I've always hated the word business. And the meaning of the word, and, you know, what it conjures up for me. And I know it can mean anything you want, especially in these incredible times where people are creating businesses out of like thin air, out of nothing, you know, things that we could never have dreamed of 20 years ago. And we absolutely would have been called insane to even think about, you know. So of course, there is that element. But the word business and the entrepreneurship that is prevalent. It's prevalent in the online space now. Everybody has some sort of offering. You know, they might be full-time employed, and yet pretty much everybody has some sort of side hustle. Again, another word that I don't like. Something that they are entrepreneurial in, that they are business-minded about. And it is a sign of our times. It's definitely, I think it's brilliant. It's amazing because it has brought about so much radical change in terms of how we become sovereign in our own financial status. But not just sovereign, you know, we in building a business and creating a business and being entrepreneurial, you literally get to write the rules of how you do that, which is scary, too scary for many. And that's where all the formulaic guru coaches step in and take control. However, let's put that aside. Let's put a little pin in that for the moment and just say, entrepreneurship can be absolutely incredible for you. It is a very intense self-developmental journey. I think everybody would attest to that. You can't become self-employed for a start. You can't become self-employed in whatever form that takes and not go through an intense, like, developmental journey. I would really, really struggle to find one person who hasn't had some sort of dark night of the soul, perhaps many times over, and especially so when it comes to the creative and spiritual realms of entrepreneurship. So where is the ickiness exactly for me when it comes to business, entrepreneurship, and soul-led creativity? This is so deeply rooted in my being. It's visceral. And it's something that I've battled with, which fascinates me on so many levels. Because when I started out, you know, let's say it probably was around 10 years ago, maybe a little bit less, I started working on my money mindset, as so many of you can probably relate to. And all of those pesky money blocks that were getting in my way. And it has been a whole journey of uncovering and uncovering and uncovering and uncovering. And trying to understand really what it is that makes me feel this way. Because what it comes down to for me, and perhaps this relates to my PDA, my pathological demand avoidance, but I really, really detest having to put my creativity through the filter of capitalism, of the financial expectations of a business. That is the crux of it. And I've always felt this way. It has always been something that I have really, really struggled with. And then now coming to the realization that perhaps this is not something that needs to be fixed. Wow. You know, even saying that, I can feel like a pin drop as, you know, this sends out ripples and ripples and ripples of shock and awe. Because we are so deeply embedded within a system of society, of culture, that says, you know, you can't be part of this society without contributing to it financially. And anybody that does not contribute financially is a burden to the community. And this is something that I have been unpicking for a while. You know, the reason that I became an entrepreneur in the first place was because of chronic illness, my healing myself from myriad chronic illnesses meant that, and going through my healing crisis specifically in the beginning, meant that I couldn't work for anybody else. You know, I physically couldn't, but also mentally and emotionally couldn't. And I know a lot of other entrepreneurs have all, this is also how they've come into this way of being. They're not suited to employment because of, you know, the rigors of the 9-to-5 or shift work or whatever other way it pans out. Even part-time work can be deeply depleting and actually traumatizing for somebody with chronic illnesses, even plural, it's usually plural, and especially alongside neurodiversity. I want to say issues, let's say challenges, neurodiversity challenges, of which I had many right back when I struggled in my career. But of course, I didn't know. There wasn't the language, but I didn't even have the concept that I could be different in that way. And so there is all of that to bring on board too. I am an idealist. Let's just get that out of the way, you know, right from the get-go, because this is what it boils down to for me. And I do feel deeply vulnerable saying this, but I just feel that now is the time for it to be said. Now, at a time when the world is shifting and transforming and transmuting so radically that, you know, our current systems are in complete heart failure. They are diving whilst they, you know, scrape as much money off us as they possibly can, whilst they possibly can. They are in big trouble and they know it. There is a call for radical change from the hearts of all of us, whether it's conscious or not. And I really, really, truly believe that our financial culture, not just our financial systems, but our financial culture is going to go through almost a regression in a way. I feel like we're going to come back to community resourcing in a major way. And, you know, that might be out of necessity at the beginning. But for me, let me just say again, I am an idealist. For me, sharing resources and bartering skills and tools are actually how we were always meant to live. You know, right down to looking after each other's children, not necessarily like having them round and like keeping them entertained, but just keeping a lookout for them and not being that neighborhood person that says, oh, that's next door's children out, you know, causing havoc again and talking about it on Facebook. What if we were genuinely all just looking out for each other in real time, in real community? And, you know, as an introvert, as a deep introvert with highly social anxiety, you know, I'm aware how ironic that is, but it also gives me the perspective to really appreciate how every individual can bring their own unique set of gifts to the community. You know, so traditionally, what we've thought of as being the trading of resources, the trading of skills, it has relied heavily upon whether you are able-bodied, first of all, whether you you know, have the actual physical resources, like the tools that are required, you know, even the physical space and so on. And what happens to those people who don't have those, who do suffer from chronic illness, who are disabled in some way? What happens to those people who have neurodiversity challenges? Do we assimilate all of these things into the community expectation so that we learn from each other? We learn about each other's needs and gifts equally, and we are then able to share and benefit from them. I want to bring this back to creativity and business, as that is the real purpose of this rambling podcast. When it comes to soul-led creativity, for me, the thing that has always made me, there's always stopped me in my tracks, first of all, prevented me from creating for decades, and then halted me, like, at regular intervals, from doubt, from guilt, from shame, from not being enough of a contributor, either to society or to my family financially. And this is an enormous burden for so many creators. I know people who work part-time jobs simply to pay, sometimes full-time jobs as well, simply to pay their bills alongside of their art, because their art just does not bring in enough money in order to do so. And this, and I would say, I would add to that, many of these people also have, you know, those neurodiverse, disabling challenges that are quite common to the creative. And I have a whole philosophy around that too, but that's for another podcast. Imagine if we can support people like this, people like me, perhaps people like you too, if you're listening to this. Imagine a community embedded, nurturing, and understanding support network that allowed you to create soul-led work, soul-led art from that place, without the guilt, without the expectation that you have to contribute financially, that you have to, because you're already contributing. This is what gets me. As creatives, and yes, everybody is creative, and yet some people are driven to create. That is how they, it's not just how they make sense of the world, it's how they need to be in the world. There's this deep sense of, first of all, that it can't be any other way for them. It's just who they are. And this is certainly how I feel. When I don't create, I very quickly become sick. And I don't just mean I get a tummy bug or a cold. I very quickly succumb back into my chronic illness phases and flare-ups in a really bad way. And of course, that's not the only trigger, but it is the primary trigger. I have learnt that over the years. So let's just take a quick look at government funding, because this is something that I turned to you in the last few months, as an effort to get out of this quagmire of and hamster wheel of trying to make ends meet with my creativity. And especially so because I had the vision to create public art. So rather than making, you know, piece by piece for individuals to put on their walls and then their beautiful spaces, I had this vision that would not leave me alone to create room-sized installations. And of course, that's not something you can sell, at least not in the way that is, you know, kind of normal. It's not something that you put on your website and go, yeah, come and buy this. You can put it in your house. So I had to go and find and put myself through the bureaucratic nightmare of public funding, of government funding applications. I have now applied for 3 or 4 government grants through the Arts Council and some awards through other bodies like the RSA and the Arvon Foundation as well. And I have not yet been accepted for anything. So it is a huge, huge, huge effort. It is a huge expenditure of energy simply to, and again, going through that bureaucratic process for funding, whoever is doing it is really, really not fun. And it's not easy if you have a brain like mine. I resisted it for years primarily because of this. I did originally look at Arts Council funding back in 2001, I think, and I was going to make myself like buckle down and write the application, and I just couldn't. I wanted to so badly and I just couldn't. So last year I wrote the application. I was happy with it. You know, I did it from the heart, but I also followed all their guidelines. And I think that I put in a good application. However, only maximum of a quarter of, for that fund at least, successful applications, like good applications, applications that aren't just thrown out because they're not viable in some way, only about a quarter get funded. And I have to say as well that the fund for the Arts Council is pretty grim. It sounds a lot when you look at the website. It seems like a lot. It's like a few million, I think. You can go and check it out for yourself for exact numbers. But I'm sure when I was writing my application, it was about 3 or 4 million. And that sounds like a lot, but it's not. It's not. And, you know, you've just got to compare it to the funding that is put into many, many other things. Without getting super political here, just go and do your research. And, you know, when I was looking at it, I just couldn't stop thinking, gosh, every single application should get funded. And again, yes, hello, I'm an idealist. But, you know, if you're going to make a better world, it's going to start with the creatives. It just is. It's not going to start with the bankers. It's not going to start with even healthcare. And yes, I'm aware, especially as someone from the background that I have, how debatable that is. But there you go. At the end of the day, creatives and creators are the only people who truly allow us to really see the potential in our world and to question how we see things, how we currently accept our reality. And we do that in alternate ways to the verbal, the logical, the linear that we are all brought up and conditioned by. So when you look at a painting, let's say you are, you know, standing in front of one of my immersive energy paintings, there are infinite subconscious and unconscious connections and, you know, synapses firing off that your conscious, logical, linear mind can't make sense of. It perhaps even isn't actually aware of, but you are changed by it. It's irrefutable. Perhaps you feel it viscerally. Perhaps you feel it emotionally. Perhaps you feel it, you know, really energetically. There are all kinds of ways that we are affected by art that is non-verbal. Writing in all of its forms is a whole other form of art. But I'm specifically thinking right here about how we bring new ways of being and thinking through the visual, through the felt, the visceral, the emotional, and the multidimensional parts of ourselves. Isn't that priceless? Isn't that something we should be pouring resources into, not just financial, but truly supportive in a community-based way? I hope you've managed to follow along with my long, rambling, inarticulate exploration of business and creativity today. It's something that I really want to open a discussion about, albeit tentatively in some respects, because I know how sensitive it is. I feel sensitive simply putting it out there today. But I do feel it's something that needs to be talked about openly, especially amongst creatives who I see over and over and over and over, especially on Instagram, pouring their hearts out, their hearts and souls into trying to make their creativity pay their way, basically, you know, as a member of society, as part of a family, whatever their needs are. And I don't believe that creativity owes that to us, because we are already contributing in much needed ways that are not supported by the society that we live in. Creativity, imagination, envisioning different ways of being and alternative systems is something that is completely gaslit, is utterly dismissed right from the point you go to school. You have to accept the way the world is. This is reality. You have to get a job. You have to get the right exams and the right grades and follow this specifically laid out system in order for you to be successful. We've all done that. Every single one of us has done that. And look where it's got us. This needs to change. These ways of being need to fundamentally change. And I believe with all my heart and soul that soul-led creatives are going to be at the forefront of that. And as a listener to this podcast, I would really hope that you agree with me, but I'm also really open to hearing what your thoughts and feelings are on this topic and how we might go about, you know, creating that support, shifting that burden for soul-led creatives. So thank you so much for listening to Ramblings of a Madwoman. It has been more rambling than usual today. So if you've got this far, thank you so, so, so much. In true unbound fashion, I am pursuing my big vision for the creation of an immersive art installation, a room-size art installation through my energy landscape art. And I'm calling in some support, some financial support for this at the moment, so that I can begin to play around with the techniques and the materials that I want to try and create this with. So what I'm asking, what I'm putting out at the moment is basically a pay what you want style studio sale. So everything on my website, all my paintings, maybe you've had your heart set on one, you've seen my work, but the prices at the moment are just out of your range. I want you to ignore the prices on my website currently and feel into, see if you're pulled towards a particular piece and then make me a beautiful offer. Just sit with it in your heart. What would feel good for you? What would feel really magical? And then reach out to me, email me, DM me, whatever. And just make me a beautiful offer, because my heart, my soul is really set on doing this next big vision, making it into a reality. And this at the moment is the only way I know how. So I would love your support. I would love for you to obviously own and celebrate my work in your own sacred space. Go and have a look at my website now at zoekmfoster.com. Have a look through all the paintings that are on there. And if a painting for whatever reason isn't quite in your remit right now, I've also got my books on there, my beautiful, immersive, my Written in the Stars book filled with art, poetry and energy transmutations. I've got some paperbacks in stock that I can send out to you today. And then obviously our collaborative books, Wake Up Mother and the Shakti Farts and Belly Laughs books, both just beautiful unbound additions to your book collection. And then I have some other bits and bobs like energy art love cards. So everything on there is available just to help me reach this big vision over the next few months. I'd be so, so grateful. And if you feel called to share this, that would be amazing too. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you loved this episode, please share on social media and tag me at Zoe K. M. Foster, and consider leaving a review on your podcast platform. For more shamanic artistry and sacred expression alchemy, head over to zoekmfoster.com, and remember, stay wild and true.